Okay, this is Brother Jim. We're back to part two, refuting Jesse Hare's sermon about me, Jim Polinick. Hey, I want to cover for you the Abigail situation. Abigail was going to David and talking to David. And what's the context of this whole thing? Go read 1 Samuel 25 and read verse 38. What we learn? God killed her husband, Nabal, and she went to go be the wife of David. Obviously, God had a plan and it was all orchestrated for her to do what she did. That is not the context of the New Testament, where a woman is going out from under the headship of a New Testament man, teacher or an elder, to go out and text or confront or usurp other men or write women letters telling them that they should leave their husband, because if you leave LFCF, you leave the faith and you have no hope of eternal life. This is the kind of heresy that's going on. Abigail was sent by God to do what she did. God wanted her to go be with David. That's not the case in any of these situations at Living Faith Christian Fellowship where they have feminist wives. And I just wanted to cover that. So we're going to go on to part two here. Jesse moves on and starts talking about another yes man. Let's listen.
About him, would we? Except he was the Apostle Paul's yes man. What?
Okay, so he's talking about this man that sought Paul out when he was in prison in Rome. And he says he was Apostle Paul's yes man. Total wrong context of what a yes man is. I'm accusing Jesse of a yes man because he approves of all of Mark's wrong, heretical, unbiblical, prideful, fleshly ways. This man was approving of who? Apostle Paul, called and anointed by God, picked by Christ in Acts 9 to be his emissary to go and proclaim the gospel. That ain't Mark Bullen. That's not the context of being a yes man. Terrible job here by Jesse, and it gets absolutely worse as we keep going. Let's listen.
You could say he was Paul's yes man, and encourage her whenever he had the opportunity. So we have his name recorded here.
All right, so there at minute 42, Jesse again says that he was Paul's yes man. And he talked about how doing the work of the Lord, Paul was doing it, and Paul needed encouragement. Well, no argument there. Supporting and encouraging Apostle Paul wouldn't be hard. He did miracles. He proclaimed the word. He preached the truth. He gave divine revelation. That's not Mark Bullen with his signed contract, his false gospel, his little black bishop suit with the white collar. That's not Mark Bullen. And this is the big problem that Jesse has. And coming up here, he finally names me, and then we're going to get to the heart of what this is all about. Let's listen.
We have a few things to say just briefly to a Mr. Polinick, who has decided that we are something to oppose. I'd like to share a few thoughts with him. He has asked that I not contact him directly with such information as this, unless it be a complete refutation of all his accusations, and I think...
All right, let's start there. So Jesse and I went back and forth on text, and it got to the point where he refused to give any answers and sent me an email, and he basically said he was not going to go over the testing, this large testing that documents everything. Keep in mind what hypocrites they are. I have it on my testing. Mark Bullen, right on his website, says it's your duty to come and rebuke us and correct us if we're wrong. He says, send it to us in writing and we'll look at it and get it right and give you an answer. So it says it right on Mark's website. What hypocrites they are. They'll only answer what they want to answer. When they get called out in their sin, they no longer want to give an answer. And so I told Jesse, don't bother sending me any more of your blather, because it was starting to become blather. He would not answer the points on the testing line by line. Mark Bullen, writes entire books refuting theology, yet he can't refute the testing that Jim from don'tperish.com has put up that's all over the internet exposing him. And you'll hear later in this sermon that Jesse is Mark's proofreader. So Jesse proofreads all of Mark's books and all of Mark's heresy about his program. You got to be brainwashed. You got to sit under a bishop. You got to pay the tithe. You got to follow the pastor's vision. Jesse apparently proofreads all this, so he is Mark's yes man, because he never says no to what's wrong, unbiblical, and full of heresy. So you'll hear Jesse in a minute say something about the testing that I think is foolish.
I think that would be poor stewardship of his time and my time to do so. He has labeled me as Mark Boland's yes man.
So he said it would be poor stewardship of time to do that. Why? I thought a Titus 1 elder is supposed to be able to give an answer to those who go against doctrine, the naysayers. They don't want to do that because they can't give biblical answers to that which exposes their sin and their heresy. They're going to look really bad. So it's better to just ad hominem attack, ignore, call me a troublemaker and divisive when, yes, I'll divide from them all day long as they teach heresy and false ways, like Mark divided from the Baptists and the Mennonites, and Jesse divided from the Mennonites. Yeah, they did that. And yes, I do call him Mark's yes man, and that's not a compliment, Jesse. You need to repent. Let's keep going.
My mind is not turned off. I actually scrutinize very closely what he says. And that is a large reason why I have gained so much understanding in the last number of years. He would do well to do likewise.
All right, so Jesse says he talked about being a yes man. It means yes sir to Mark. And then he said that he's learned so much from Mark over the years and that I should do the same thing. Well, you know what? I know Mark as well as he does. And I've learned what Mark has right. Mark does have things right. And I've learned the many things that Mark has wrong. The heresy, the lording over, the pride, the unbiblical ways, the contract to have communion. And so I have learned, Jesse, from Mark's writings, mostly learning what to reject. And mostly have learned about Mark's pride and arrogance. This is a man who called me a pervert. This is a man who told me before he ever knew anything about me, I've never done anything for Christ. This is a man that called me a hippie after the first month of knowing me, years before the testing ever went up. This is a man who rubbed my pre-Christ divorce in my face when he writes whole books saying you can be forgiven from your past divorce before Christ. He emailed me, it's on my testing, and rubbed my face in it. Where's your wife? Where's your children? Where's your grandchildren, Jim? What a wicked man Mark Boland is. Jesse, did you proofread that email? Do you approve of that? Wicked men these are. Jesse is a yes man. No, I'm not going to listen to you or Mark's teaching other than to test you and expose you. We're going to keep going. Because we love you, want you to repent.
Referring there to, I'll just get it and read it.
Minute 44:15, he's talking about the Bereans testing Paul.
I believe he's referring to, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also the honorable women. Okay. He refused to be tested as Paul was in Acts 17. They were testing Paul by the Old Testament scriptures. And they saw by the Old Testament scriptures that yes, indeed, Paul was a messenger from God because what he was teaching lined up with that. Mr. Polonek would rather not be tested by the Old Testament scriptures. If it gets too tight of his...
Right there, another lie from Jesse. That's an absolute lie. I love the Old Testament scriptures. They're the foundation of God's word, God's truth, the history of man, the foretelling of the Messiah to come. But you know what? Today we have the finished revelation of God. We have the New Testament, and we're in the New Testament. So what do we test New Testament people to? The New Testament. In the book of Acts, they were testing Paul to all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And when I test Mark and Jesse to the New Testament model that Christ ordained, let me give you another example. The Lord's Supper. Mark says he needs to examine everybody to make sure they're sinless before he lets them take it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, let each man examine himself. That's how Mark lords over. He wants to control everything. Stand up, sit down. Not too long ago, he laughed and said, I wonder if I didn't tell you to sit down if you'd keep standing. He controls them like a bunch of dogs. Stand up, sit down, tells people sing, when to pray. This is a diatrophies. It's not biblical. It's not spirit-led. And Jesse lies. I love the Old Testament, but today we're testing you to the New Testament, Jesse, and your feminism and your unbiblical ways, your unbiblical tithe, your unbiblical contract, your unbiblical gospel that overlooks the blood of Christ and individual salvation by being born from above. They've replaced it with going to church on Sunday in a building, ritual, dead religion. So sad. We want better for them. Let's keep going. So here, Jesse will go back and start talking about Abigail again.
He will just say, well, that was Old Testament. We are in the New. For example, with Abigail, he will say, well, you know, when it comes right down to it, well, she was Old Testament. The New Testament remodeled to something a little different, and therefore, as far as discerning what feminism is and is not, Abigail is really not, doesn't come into the equation, because...
Hey, maybe there's something we can agree on. So Abigail wasn't acting in feminism because God called her to do what she did. Mark's wife, Jesse's daughter, and other women at Living Faith Christian Fellowship are acting out in feminism if they listen to and believe what Jesse and Mark teach, that a woman can go outside of her headship and go up to a man, correct him, teach him, give him advice, talk to him one-on-one, alone even, apparently. That's just fine with Jesse and Mark. That's sinful, and that's wicked. Hard to believe that these people believe it, but I'm proving it. More heresy. If you go to our testing, you'll find all types of things wrong with Living Faith Christian Fellowship. Their gospel is wrong. They have a contract you have to sign. Their men don't dress biblical. Mark lords over and takes control in an unbiblical, non-New Testament type way. They're very ritual, spiritually dead. They don't even teach you must be born from above. Mark believes in Charles Finney. Mark believes in open theology, open theist. I've got it all on the testing. But let's get back to Jesse, his deacon. So at minute 45, 46, Jesse starts talking about this.
She's not a good role model for New Testament women. I would differ with that. I would say that if the circumstances are the same, that the same response would still be pleasing to God.
Amen.
So your understanding of what is and is not feminist must make Abigail fit in somewhere.
So you heard Mark say amen. So if a woman feels led of God in the New Testament, she can go outside the headship of her husband, teacher, elder even, go and rebuke and contend and confront and text and write letters to other people and men. That's what they believe. Folks, if you go to Living Faith Christian Fellowship, you're walking into feminist land. You're walking into an unbiblical place. I'm proving it here on Jesse's very weak, lame sermon that he did about me. He keeps lying. Well, there's more lies to come. Let's listen in. Next, Jesse's going to bring up where I talked to him and warned him that Mark 7 says, Jesus said, Mark 7, 6 through 9, that if you keep man-made traditions, you void your worship of God. Let's listen in.
What is and is not feminist must make Abigail fit in somewhere.
That's right.
Not just as an old discounted piece of foundation. He says that we hold to traditions of men, and thus make...
Let's stop right there. So let's throw out one of them. They teach that Sunday is the Lord's Day. This is a lie. This is not what Scripture teaches. It was originally improved upon they said they improved upon and made Sunday the new Sabbath day via the Roman Catholic faith. And this is an absolute lie. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere, that Sunday is the Lord's Day. And later, Jesse lies about what I teach about this. I have no problem with them gathering any day of the week they want. Don't teach Sunday is the special Lord's Day. They teach you gotta be in the building on Sunday in a local New Testament body for salvation. And oh, here's hypocrisy. Mark's son Noah has left for 6 months to go train to be a pilot. Let me see, why is he not out preaching the gospel? Why is he not out studying to be a teacher of the word? Why is he leaving for 6 months? He's not in the building every Sunday morning. Has he lost his salvation? I guess the bishop's son gets an exemption. More hypocrisy from Living Faith Christian Fellowship. Let's listen in.
Making our worship of God void. He finds that in... He gives Mark 7 as the proof of that. And if you look in Mark 7, he says, Jesus said, he's talking about the Pharisees who come from Mark, except they want to see not many other things there be that they say have received the holiness. Okay, then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why not walk thy disciples not according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, and teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And then he goes on to say, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition.
All right, so I'm glad you read that verse for us. So absolutely, that's what Living Faith Christian Fellowship does. Like with the Lord's Day being Sunday. Here's another one. One bishop standing over, overseeing, controlling the Lord's Supper, stand up, sit down, wearing a little black suit, white collar for weddings. This is throwing away what God ordained. Multiple men and a spirit-led gathering. They even had at Nathan's wedding, him and his wife sang solo in front of everybody. This is prideful vanity. Oh yeah, they throw away their men's dress is unbiblical. They've brought back the tithe for the New Testament that God did away with. Mark believes the synagogue was the whole model system for the New Testament body. What a lie. God never ordained the synagogue. Man did. No buildings in the New Testament. We're now the temple. They met in homes and they met daily. Go read Acts 2, Jesse and Mark. But let's keep going. More lies from Jesse.
The old tradition allowed the very opposite of what God commanded. And yet, so it's like, why do their traditions make void their worship of God? It's because it is in direct conflict with.
No. Exactly. Your traditions are in conflict with what God ordained. My testing shows so many of those points. I just covered them, including their unbiblical gospel that denies and does not lift up Christ crucified, but has a program for salvation, a contract to take the Lord's Supper. Is that not a tradition that goes contrary to what God ordained? Oh, it is. It is. Let's keep going. Here, Jesse's going to talk a little bit more about Mark 7, and then I'll comment.
And then he gives an example how they were actually, their own tradition allowed the very opposite of what God commanded. And yet, so it's like, why do their traditions make void their worship of God? It's because it is in direct conflict with. Right. Now, if you were to establish traditions that in no way conflicted with the Word of God, would that make your worship of God void?
Well, the problem is that's not what we're talking about. Mark being a lording over one man bishop in control, that goes against God's tradition. Mark adding a contract to sign for you to take communion that goes against God's tradition. Mark teaching Sunday is the Lord's day that goes against God's tradition. Mark teaching men to dress like Baptists and Mennonites goes against God's tradition. Do you see why their worship is in vain? And not to mention their dry, dead, spiritual, stand up, sit down, do this, do that. If Mark doesn't tell them when to sit down, they'll keep standing. That's not spirit led. Go read Romans 8, Jesse and Mark. Romans 8:1 says, if you're in the flesh, you're condemned already. You must be in the spirit. They're so far from it. And it's so sad. Hey, we're going to go on to part 3. My refuting of Jesse Hare and his ill sermon. Stay tuned.